All right. This morning, we are thankful and blessed to be able to meet and gather. And for those of you who are joining us for the first time, we want to welcome all of you. And especially for those of you who are watching online, again, we want to give a shout out to those in Duchesne County. You know, there's a group of families that are meeting in a house and watching our services. And so why don't we all say, hello, Duchesne. One, two, three. Thank you guys for joining us. We're blessed that you're tapping in. And anyone else, please don't get mad. I just, all of you watching, we love you. Okay. While you turn your Bibles, we're going to be in the book of Galatians. We are closing the book today. And as you turn to chapter 6, I have a couple of important things I want to share with you. Number one is this. We are so blessed of all the families that are here. And our desire is to equip everyone, regardless of what age you're in, whether you're in children's ministry. We do not run a daycare. We want your kids to know Jesus as much as we want you to know Jesus. And so we minister to children's ministry, youth, and young adults, and adults, couples, newlyweds, and everything else that you could think of. We want to be an assistance to you and help you grow in your relationship with the Lord. And so beginning March 16th, we are starting up a class called Armor Up. And it is for, I believe, if I can remember correctly, I might get the grade levels wrong because I'm an empty nester now. I forgot all about the ages of where kids are. But I believe it's fifth grade going into middle school. I believe that's what it is. But we want to have time as pastors here at this church. I will be out of the pulpit one Sunday to be in children's ministry to teach these kids the importance of salvation. We want them to know biblical truths as they get ready to go into school, and we understand and know that the school systems that are around us, we may be blessed, but compared to many other states, there's some craziness that's happening within the schools and telling parents what they can teach your children. And so we want to help come alongside of you, and we take this class seriously. So we have 8 weeks that each one of our pastors on staff will be ministering to your kids, and I will go in there because it is important. We love your kids, we love you, and we want to set that foundation. So be praying for that. March 16th is the sign up, and you can, our start date, and you can sign your kids up for that class, and we'll get you more information on that. The other thing that I want to share with you really quickly is this. The announcement that Pastor Matt made about missions, I want to share this with you, and I want you to know, if you don't know this, during the middle of the week, we have a midweek Bible study on Wednesdays. I know that this may be a little bit of a challenge for those who are working and so forth, but I just want you to know how much of a blessing it is to gather together and to meet and to get into God's Word, because it's kind of like a refueling for us in the middle of the week to help us get through the rest of the week, okay? We're studying through the Old Testament, and I want to invite you out to be a part of that. But every first Wednesday of the month, we pray specifically for all of our workers. And it is a blessing when they come home that we have an opportunity to give them a platform to teach or to also share about what God's doing out on the mission field. So this Wednesday, listen carefully, Bryce and Bethany Hurd will be with us. And they've been out in England for over 25 years. And they are doing an amazing work, and I would love for us to come hear from them personally and then have a cheesecake afterwards with them. Come on now. And that's a deal in itself. But I want you to be able to hear from them what God is doing, and then to rejoice and give them an opportunity to see that we as a church are partnering with them, and we love them and we support them. So I want to invite you to come on out, be a part of that. It's not just for them, but any first Wednesday of the month. It is really important that we continue to commit ourselves to fulfilling the Great Commission, and we partner with every single one of our workers to see the kingdom of God grow, okay? So it's important. So I want to invite you out for that. Last thing, this is going to make you happy. Okay, after today's service, the youth are selling tacos. So support our youth, okay? They'll be out somewhere out there. You just let the nose guide the way, okay? But they're going to be using this as a fundraiser as they get ready to go to Mexico and serve the Lord for a week. And so they have an exciting itinerary, and I'm blessed that they're going. So you guys ready for a Bible study? Amen. Amen. Well, listen, before we do, I forgot one more thing. Sorry. If you need a Bible this morning, please raise your hand. Our ushers will make sure you can follow along with us. And if you need one personally, please consider that a gift from us. Other than that, let's all stand out of reverence for the Word of God, if you can. Galatians chapter 6, beginning in verse 11. See what large letters I have written to you with my own hand. We're just going to stop right there. Father, we thank you so much for this day, for this time, and we thank you for what we have in store, and that is you speaking into our hearts. So God, would you please bless this time? Help us to see the beauty of what the Holy Spirit inspired Paul to pen for us today. And so we are thankful that we have your living word before us. May it come to life now. May it do exactly what Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says, that the word of God is alive and it's powerful and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing through even bone and marrow and even the hardest of hearts. God, I pray that you would draw many to yourself today. We pray for salvation. We pray that our hearts would belong to you and that our lives would grow in Christ. We love you. We thank you for this time. Bless it now. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. As we're closing this letter, these are going to be Paul's final words to the churches in Galatia. And one of the things that I want to be able to map out for us is just how we're going to look at this portion of Scripture. Verse 11, we're going to see some personalizing of his letter by him taking up the pen and writing the rest of the letter. Paul is going to also bring out who these Judaizers really are. It's really going to be a summary of what he's been sharing with us all throughout the book. So we're going to see this in verses 12 to 13. Then in verses 14 to 16, we're going to see what Jesus Christ has done for us. And it is important because we want to make sure that people understand and know the depth of what the cross really means. And then, of course, in verses 17 to 18 is Paul's departing words as a fellow servant. And so he's basically going to end this letter with, I've shared my heart with you. Now don't bother me anymore. No, just kidding. He's literally going to say, don't challenge me anymore with this topic. As an apostle of Jesus Christ, I've laid out everything. Go back and reread the letter. And Lord willing, you're going to see the truth behind how a person is made right with God and how we can actually enter into a personal relationship with God. And the key thing is it is by faith in what Jesus Christ has already done on the cross. We're talking about the finished work of the cross. No human effort can ever gain you a ticket into heaven. There's no buddy passes. There's no bundled deals. It's an individual decision. And Paul has laid it out very clearly for us. So this is how we're going to look at this letter. And then Lord willing, we will take communion today. So pray for me. But in verse 11, notice what he says. See what large letters I have written to you with my own hand. And many Bible scholars believe that the apostle Paul dictated his letters, that another person would write out the very things that he was saying, and then he would close it with a personal signature. In several of his epistles, you will see a closing such as this. You know, maybe it might be something as far as, with my own hands, grace and peace be with you, similar to that. But you could always see it at the end of his letters. And the reason for this is because many believe that Paul had issues with his eyes. Ever since he met the Lord Jesus on that road to Damascus in Acts chapter 9, when Jesus appeared before him, it says that he fell to the ground and that he lost his sight, that he actually needed to be escorted into Damascus by the men that were with him. And when you read further on, it was God who sent Ananias to pray over him. And when Ananias prayed over the apostle Paul, It says that these scale-like things fell from his eyes, but even though he was able to regain his sight, he never had it 100%. It was something that always affected him. He even reminded the churches here about when he first arrived and the condition that he was in. He said, out of love for God and the gospel that made an impact in your life, you were willing to give me your own eyes. If you could, you would have plucked them out for me. So many believe that because of his eyesight, now in verse 11, it's as if he took the pen away from the scribe and just started writing. And so it may have looked like size 12 font to size 20. Or sometimes, how many of us have ever accidentally write an email and hit the all caps button and all of a sudden you're writing in all caps and then somebody writes back, why are you mad at me? Right? So the apostle Paul picks up the pen and this font size has changed, but it shows the concern of his heart. The sincerity of it, I would imagine, and this is just my personal opinion, when I see this closing, if the apostle Paul was present with him, I would imagine him doing this to several of the brothers and grabbing them by their face and just saying, would you please just listen to me? Parents, how many of us have ever did that to our kids, right? Just look right here. Just hear my heart. Understand what I'm trying to tell you. And so this is where the apostle Paul is. And again, it's time to pay attention. It's time to listen carefully to the things that he's about to say. And again, this is going to be a recap. It's going to reflect two different lifestyles. We're going to see what bondage versus liberty look like. Remember that. We also witness what the flesh and the spirit is. And we've also witnessed people living for self versus people living for others. But as he is closing this letter, Paul is now going to focus on who these Judaizers are, who he is, and we're going to see two things. Number one, the Judaizers were seeking after the praises of men, where Paul, on the other hand, was seeking to glorify God. And so it's basically this, two words, circumcision versus the cross. This is what he's going to end this letter with. And so in verses 12 to 14, notice what it says. As many as desire to have a good showing in the flesh, these would compel you to be circumcised, only that they may not suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For not even those who are circumcised keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh. And so here, what is the Apostle Paul wanting us to see? That these Judaizers are not only false teachers, but they're ones who have a desire to boast, not in Christ, but in the work that they're doing, in a way that they are making this outward appearance. And this is what he wants them to see. Boasting doesn't do any good. Boasting in yourself counts for nothing. Notice what he says, as many as you make a desire or have a desire to make a good showing in the flesh. In other words, you want to make a good impression. You are only bragging and boasting about the work that you are doing. It's not about pointing people to Jesus. It's about what you have done. And these Judaizers, listen, instead of actually having the ability to give people truth, the message that they were giving them in their view would draw them closer to Jesus or closer to God, and yet it took them further away. And what we need to understand is this, instead of, again, remembering what matters most, and that is the message of the cross. It is God's love to all of mankind and God's plan to redeem mankind. What they were boasting about is how good they were doing with it, how good that they were convincing other people to follow their teachings. He says here, these guys, these Judaizers, compelled you to be circumcised. And this word compelled means to press in on. In the King James Version, It uses the word constraint, which carries the idea of strong persuasion. And I just, again, I come back to my grandkids because they know how to do this. You know, remember what you said. I remember you promising that you were going to take us to go get some ice cream. Did I really? Did I say that? You sure that wasn't somebody else? But they just know how to work it, and then they give you the little sad eyes, and they get Papa all the time. Mimi's a little bit stronger. But this is what these Judaizers were doing. They were persuading, and they were good at it. And they were able to convince Gentiles to actually become circumcised, thinking that this is what would prove their salvation. And so even though they persuaded them and they were able to get these guys to do this, this act of circumcision literally is in vain. And Paul has already expressed if there was a law or if there was anything humanly possible to get into heaven, if the law was it, then Christ died in vain. So he's already said it doesn't benefit you anything. And again, the truth is no human efforts nor the law will ever give you a right standing with God. And just because one is circumcised or does not get circumcised, it doesn't prove that they are saved. Paul went on to describe that these Judaizers were afraid of persecution. They were afraid of suffering like the Apostle Paul. When you go through the epistles and you see, even through the book of Acts, when Paul went on his missionary journeys, he suffered many things. Why did he suffer? Was he a criminal? No. Why was he in jail? Because he stole something? No. It was all because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He was not afraid to declare, listen, a person is made right with God through Jesus' death and his resurrection. He was not afraid to preach about the cross. And so not only did Jesus complete this work of redemption, but this is the message that Paul was giving. And this gospel not only was offensive to the Jewish people back then, but if you and I are honest, the gospel is still offensive to people. And what blows me away is that many people have an issue with God when some of them have never actually picked up a Bible to understand who God is. They go off of other people's opinion about who God is, or maybe they use that reliable resource, Reader's Digest or Google. But if you want to really know who God is, you got to go to the right source. And this is what Paul was doing. He was directing people to the right source and how to get saved. And yet, just because these Judaizers were telling them that there was a different way, to them, it wasn't about the cross. It was about keeping the law. It was about keeping the peace so that nobody would be upset with them. Because to the Jewish people, listen carefully, the cross was not only offensive, but it was a stumbling block for them. Because they believed that the gospel message was giving people a license to sin. And what they misunderstood about God's grace is this: God's grace sets us free from sin, not to remain in it. And so they completely missed this, but they were afraid to be persecuted or suffer. So in other words, in some ways, they acted like Peter back in chapter 2. When he was hanging out with the Gentiles, everything was cool. But then all of a sudden, when the Jews came from Jerusalem, he isolated himself, he separated himself, and now he only hung out with the Jewish people from Jerusalem. He's like, you can't do that. You're playing the hypocrite. And so these Judaizers not only boast in themselves and what the work that they were doing, they weren't giving people an opportunity to draw closer to Jesus. They were pulling people away. And yet, notice what verse 13 says. Even though these guys are compelling you to be circumcised, listen to what the Apostle Paul said, they themselves don't even keep the law. They're wanting you to do something that they're not even doing. Does that even make sense? And so when Paul is laying these things out, he says the only reason why these guys are desiring for you to be circumcised, and here it is, so that they can boast as to how many people they've actually converted. Numbers were more important to them. Outward appearance was more important to them, but there was absolutely no concern for a person's soul. And when we look at what Paul is laying out here, again, this is important for us to see. Their teachings and what they believed was a gospel was not a gospel. And not only that, he says these guys are only drawing people to themselves and not to the one who can save them. It is Jesus alone. You draw close to Jesus and God will get glorified. You put your heart and you put your trust and your faith in what Jesus did. This is what gives us an opportunity to no longer be separated from God, but reconciled back to God. And so, again, boasting in yourself doesn't count for anything. But notice verses 14 to 16, Paul's desire was to boast in the cross, and the cross equals everything. It is the cross that changes our lives. Notice what it says in verse 14 to 16. It says here, "But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For in Christ neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything but a new creation." And I want to go on with verse 16. "And as many as walk according to this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God." Now here in this next section, I want us to see how Paul now, from circumcision and what these Judaizers are trying to do to what the cross will literally do. I want you to see this because he says, "God forbid that I should boast in anything." Paul, who had every right to boast, and yet where was his heart? What did his desire? What was his desire? And that was to see the churches get back to where they rightfully belong. He pointed them to the cross. He wanted them to see several things, and this is what I want us to see, why boasting in the cross is important. If you're going to brag about anything, may we all understand and know we should be bragging and boasting about the cross. What does the cross do for us? Well, the first thing I want to point out is the cross sets us free from this world. What the Apostle Paul said in this portion of Scripture, our world is in full of darkness and it is broken. Do you guys agree? Okay, some of you do. All right. You know, one of the things that I pray you would understand and know, this is my personal opinion. A few years ago when we walked through COVID, there was a lot of unknowns. But one of the things that I pray that people would have heard throughout Bible teaching churches is this: take your eyes of what's happening in this world and put them back on Christ. Because it is Christ who is still sitting on the throne. It is Jesus and God alone who already knew what was going to happen, and they already have a solution. But what people began to do was stop looking at the Lord, and they placed their eyes on the things that were happening in the world. And what did it cause? Panic, fear. Let's be real. What good is a whole roll of toilet paper going to do for you? Come on now. Did it even make sense? Everybody was rushing to Costco, fights in the parking lot, just for toilet paper. We can survive without toilet paper. That's why we got showers. Just try to be real with you. When people take their eyes off of Jesus and they put them on the things of this world, our world is falling apart. There is nothing that you can see on regular TV pretty much that is going to draw your heart closer to Jesus. The things of this world that want to pull you away, thinking that you need them in order to satisfy your heart, is empty, vain. It's going to leave you empty, because the moment that you get it, the moment you desire something else. And so when we look at the cross, it sets us free from this world. It sets us free from the darkness and the evil that is around us. This world is broken and it wants to break us as well. But through the cross, it gives us the ability to see Jesus conquered over this world. That Jesus conquered over all things, Satan, sin, death, and hell. This is why we need to boast in the cross. How about this? The cross is what sets us free from the penalty of sin. Now I get, listen carefully, I get, you probably have heard this throughout this book of Galatians over and over and over and over again. And here's the reason why, because we're forgetful people. The cross and what Jesus did keeps us from being eternally separated from God. And here's where I ask that everybody would just listen carefully. The reality that is before us is that we will all live for an eternity. And the question is where are you going to live it? When we see and we hear, again, many people have different opinions, and there are many people who choose to believe that there is no hell. And just because they may believe this does not take away from the fact that it is a true place. And where do we see this? We see it all throughout the scriptures. And I want to just help us to understand, because there's not, again, a whole lot of churches that are willing to do this. But I want you to understand and know this. What does the Bible say about hell? Well, Romans chapter 6, verse 23 tells us this. Here's where we need to start. The wages of sin is death. Here is the eternal separation. It's not just speaking of a physical death. It is being eternally separated from God. Revelation chapter 20, verses 15 tells us that if your name is not found in the book of life, the place that you're going to spend eternity is in a lake of fire. Again, Revelation chapter 20, verse 15. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9 tells us what's going to be happening in hell. Eternal punishment. Suffering forever. It gives us a description in Matthew chapter 13, verses 50. Hell is no party. What is it? It's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Listen, there's plenty of other scriptures. I just gave you a few. And the ones who reject who Jesus is, the ones who do not believe that he is God in the flesh, who do not believe that he came into this world to die a death to save all of humanity from this punishment, will find themselves there. It's not God who placed them there. They themselves are choosing to be there. Some of you might be thinking, well, this is some bad news. Yes, it is. Why are you telling me that? Because I love you enough to tell you the truth. This is what will happen if a person passes away from this life without making that confession, without believing by faith in who Jesus is. And I will say this, and it may shock several people, that there are going to be some good people in hell. What is the good news then? The gospel. The cross. Why? Just read John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever shall believe in him, believe in the finished work of the cross, shall not perish, never be separated from him, but experience life everlasting. The gift of salvation. This is what God's gift to us, because of his grace, he desires all of mankind to come into that saving knowledge of who he is. This is the good news. God made a way for us to escape this penalty. This is the message that the world needs to hear. And because we have it, God doesn't want us to keep it a secret. Don't be the so-called secret Christian. There's no such thing. When you look throughout your Bible, it is very clear that this gift of everlasting life, again, is a gift. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. God extending his love to all of mankind. So nobody could ever say God is the one who throws people into hell. No, they choose to. And listen, I get, okay, Pastor, what about those in Ethiopia or those in, you know, Madagascar or wherever that don't get a check? Don't worry about them. God will take care of them. What about you? Where do you stand when it comes to who Jesus is in your life? Because I guarantee you, God loves those people that you just quoted more than you do. So let's talk about you. What about you? Where are you at and who Jesus is? And do you understand and know that he is the way into everlasting life? And it's not just because I say so. He himself said it. John chapter 14, verse 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus himself said that. So regardless of what other people may think or they tell you, go to the source so that you understand and know this is your eternity. How important is it for you to get into the Word? How is it important that you would listen to anybody else over such an important decision instead of going to the Bible? I'm challenging us as believers in Christ. Know the Word. You got to know the Word. What I just shared with you, four simple verses about what hell is, but there's a ton more. And I'm so thankful for God's love. I'm so thankful that he's given us a way out of not being in the lake of fire. What else does the cross do? Sets us free to live for God, to love others, and to serve others. This is an amazing thing because when you look to the cross, it is the cross that changes everything. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 tells us, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation, a new start, a new life. Hey, yesterday we went and we're supporting the FCA golf tournament. I went out there and played some golf, okay? I'm not going to tell you how I did. But I can say this safely. I gave the workers some extra work. And I think I may have hit a few houses. So if you live near Southgate Golf Course, I'm sorry. I didn't put my initials on the ball, so I'm good. But listen, when we were at this golf tournament, it was such a blessing to see other people come. It was a blessing to be there. And it was a blessing to see the beauty of those who caught the vision and want to see the kingdom grow. And this participation from other people, this is what Paul is talking about, the newness of life that comes because we stop thinking of ourselves and we're willing to give to others. We're willing to take what, you know, yes, it was awesome to have a golf game, but it would still have been awesome if we just gave the money and helped donate it to the ministry. God does that. God is the one who changes our life. God is the only one that can take your eyes off of you and open them up to see that other people matter more than you. God is the one who opens up our eyes, right, to let us see we're not all that, okay? This is what God's Word will do. This is what the cross will do. Gives us a new start, gives us a new life. We are now spiritually alive. And here's the blessed thing. We belong to the most amazing family. That's the body of Christ. Listen, whether you like it or not, the person sitting next to you, we're going to be spending all of eternity with each other if they are a believer in Christ. So we might as well get used to it now. Come on now. Paul wanted the churches to see, again, it's the cross that changes you, not the law. And he said it very clearly again in verse 14. There is no benefit if you are or if you are not circumcised. It doesn't benefit you anything. But what does? A new creation. And here's where I need to talk to my family, to those who have made that confession of faith. Because just because you call yourself a Christian doesn't mean you are one. Ladies, have you ever had this happen to you? A young man showing attention, and maybe you ask the question, so, are you a Christian? Well, sure. No, sure. You're like, are you? Do you see the fruit? Because anybody can tell you they're a Christian. How do you know? Look for the fruit. Look to see if they go to church without you. Look to see if they talk more about Jesus than you. Because if you're the center of attention, then where is their heart at? On you. You want somebody who's going to love you and direct you to Jesus, not pull you away from him. And it works both ways because there's some good-looking brothers out there. Okay? It works both ways. And the truth that I want us to see here is this. Just because you say you're a Christian doesn't mean you are. We can all make ourselves look good. Just because you go to church doesn't mean you're saved. Just because you tithe doesn't mean God owes you something. You are entitled to a ticket into heaven. Just because you wear a cross on your necklace or tattoo it on your body does not mean you are saved. Anybody can do that. Have you ever seen somebody who has a cross and you say, wow, that's a nice looking cross that you have on your neck. Oh, well, thank you. What does it mean to you? Oh, well, you know, my mom gave it to me. Okay. It's a beautiful gift. Could I share with you what it means? And I would imagine why your mom gave it to you. You see, there are many people who can say it. And there are many people who go to churches every single Sunday, just like ours, who think they're saved. And can I just remind you, it's not the church that saves you. It is only Jesus. Here's a great testimony. Instead of saying we love Jesus, the better thing to do is let your life reflect it. The better thing to do is to demonstrate it by your actions that you belong to him. Let your fruit, let your light, let your salt, as the Bible says, you are the light and the salt of the earth, shine. Add some flavor to your conversations. Preserve the word of God and never, ever forget that the word of God brings healing. See, this is our responsibility. This is why Paul said in verse 16, for those who live through this principle or through this rule, he's speaking of living a life of faith. He's referring to this as a rule, but it is speaking of those who receive Jesus, those who believe, listen, in his death and his resurrection, and that his death paid the price for the sins of the world, for our sins. Listen carefully. They will receive peace and mercy. Peace in knowing that they're a part of God's family, that they have this right relationship with God. And this mercy, again, God not giving us what we truly deserve. How many of you have ever given into this lie that the enemy likes to give to all of us, and that is, you're nothing? How many of you have ever had people tell you straight up to your face, you'll never do anything, you're worthless, or just go off on you? And those things that people say is not what God says. And what I want you to understand and know is what God thinks of you. That outweighs what anybody else will ever say. And when we see this beautiful reminder that we have been brought into this amazing family and that we have now the opportunity to be those true sons of Abraham, sons of faith or daughters of faith, that we become a part of God's family. So now you're a son of God or a daughter of God. This is the beauty that Jesus did through the cross out of love for you and me. So now, whatever anybody has ever said to you, you want to know how God looks at you? As if he's seeing his own precious son, Jesus. I want you to realize that when we made that confession of faith, that our life now, different lens, God no longer sees the sinner that we used to be, but that word justification means that we are now declared innocent. It's as if he's looking at Jesus when he looks at us. It's as if we've put on Jesus, his garments, his robe, and now we mimic him. We live for him. We serve like he did, and we love other people. This is the true beauty of seeing a life being transformed by the power of the gospel. And who else could better say this than the Apostle Paul? The one who was, again, a persecutor of the church is now preaching of the church. The power of the gospel having the ability to change anybody. And so what did Paul, again, want these churches to see? That the Judaizers only boasted in themselves and the number of people that they had circumcised. That was their boast. What was Paul's boast? In a crucified and risen Savior. He boasted in Jesus and in the cross, which directs people to the gift of everlasting life, the true source that can only save. You see, Paul wanted these churches to see that that is what mattered most, that the cross is greater than the act of circumcision. The cross is greater than anything that you could ever accomplish. The cross is greater than any man-made thing that you could ever do. It is the cross that changes us. And I want us to see this. I want you to see how the Apostle Paul closes this letter and how we can believe what he says. But notice this, from now on, let no one trouble me. In other words, again, all you need to do is go back and read this letter again. All you need to do is take the time to pray over this letter, read it over, and let God show you the truth. And he says this, "For I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you, be with your spirit. Amen." Here's what I want us to see with just the simplicity of these two verses. Paul definitely was directing them and guiding them to the truth. And what he expressed about his boast on the cross and in Jesus was exactly what would give a person the right relationship with God. Now, how do we know this? How do we know that Paul's message and the gospel of grace was the legit message compared to the Judaizers? Well, I want you to see this. Because shortly after Paul wrote this letter, Acts chapter 15 tells us that there was a meeting that took place between the Apostle Paul and many of these Judaizers. And where did this meeting take place? In Jerusalem, in the home church, in the place of worship, the center of worship. So Paul, along with some of these Judaizers and the leaders of the church, met. What was this meeting for? To discuss this specific matter. Is circumcision needed to be saved? Okay? In this meeting, many people stood up and gave testimony to the work that God did, the lives that were changed, the Apostle Paul and Barnabas being one. Peter stepped up, a pillar in the church, and described how God poured out his Holy Spirit upon the house of Cornelius, who were Gentiles. That they didn't require them to go and get circumcised. But God immediately poured out his spirit upon them and they began to speak in tongues and this whole household got saved. And Peter's words were, "Who are we to ever stop God from saving people?" James would also speak up, but I want us to do this together. Turn with me to Acts chapter 15. I want to read the conclusion of this meeting so that you and I both know that what Paul was preaching was the true message that draws people to Jesus and gives them an opportunity to have everlasting life. Acts chapter 15, notice what verse 22, we're going to begin there after this meeting. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
It says this, then it pleased the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, who was also named Barsabbas, whatever that name is, and Silas, and Silas, leading men among the brethren. So these men were of importance. Now notice the letter that they wrote regarding this issue on circumcision. They wrote this letter by them, the apostles, the elders, and the brethren. To the brethren who are of the Gentiles in Antioch, Syria, and Cilicia. This is the Galatian area. Greetings. Since we have heard that some who went out from us have troubled you with words, unsettling your soul, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law. Notice this, to whom we gave no such commandment. It seems good to us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men to you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men who have risked their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have therefore sent Judas and Silas, who will also report the same things by word of mouth. For it seems good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that you abstain from the things offered to idols, from blood, from things strangled, and from sexual immorality. If you keep yourself from these things, you will do well. Farewell. There is nothing mentioned in here at all about keeping the law, keeping circumcision. What was the desire of the apostles and this conclusion? Live for God day by day. Change from that old nature of who you were. Walk in the new nature. And don't cause anybody else to stumble. And this is where I pray I can encourage us, because again, Paul's heart was always to give people this amazing hope, which we call everlasting life. It wasn't about him. It wasn't about getting converts. It wasn't about him tallying how many people received Christ. It was about seeing lives being transformed by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So what's our takeaway for us today? What is it that we want to gain from this book that we just covered, the six chapters that we've gone through? And I pray that we would all walk away with this one truth. Do you realize and understand how much God loves you? I pray that you do. I pray that you would have the ability to go back if you're visiting today and go through the whole series. You can go on our website or our social media and look at the different studies that we've gone through already. But my takeaway from this book is it blessed me to see how much God loves me. And I hope you know that he loves you. I pray that going through this book, we would see what God did to save you. He gave us his only begotten son who came into this world to die a death that he did not deserve. He gave so that you and I can live. I pray that as we go through this book, you would realize God's gift to us is not only salvation. He's given us his precious spirit that dwells within us, that helps us put to rest our old nature. Remember, God's grace and the gospel of Jesus Christ saves us from sin, not so we can remain in sin. And the new life that God's given us is a new start. Again, golf tournament. We paid for mulligans. That means it's a takeover. You butcher one. I think I lost about maybe 15 balls yesterday. It was an expensive day. Yes, it was. But it was worth it. But we were giving a new start. We are a new creation in Christ because of faith. Because God is the only one who can transform our life from the inside out. And whenever we have the opportunity to do a baptism, I want you to always remind yourself of this beautiful truth, how symbolic it is of the newness of life that God's given us, because he wants us to put to rest our old nature, to bury it, to crucify it. For what reason? To now arise in the newness of life, a new start. And when we consider that truth, when we live by faith, when we live according to the Spirit, our eyes will be taken off of ourselves, and we will then reach out to others. We will care for each other. We'll bear each other's burdens. We'll have compassion on each other. God will stir our hearts to go out and do things in his name and not just focus on us. This is the heart of this message, of this book. Not only are we saved from the penalty of sin, but for what reason? So that all of us can glorify God through our life and let other people know how amazing he is. And I hope and pray that you would see this, because the other thing that we can walk away with today is this. You want to know how much God loves you? He did all of this so he could spend eternity with you. That's the ultimate reward. That is the gift that God desires all of us to have. And it's available. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to have all the answers. One thing that God desires, once again, is that all of us would come to the saving knowledge of who he is. So how do we make this personal? How do we make this letter impact our life? Well, let me ask you these questions. Outside from this church, are you committed to reading God's word and understanding and knowing what the full counsel of God is? Or are you only picking and choosing? Are you using the Bible like a buffet? Are you only reading those things that make you feel good? Listen, there are times when you need to be confronted. There are going to be times when you need to be called out. There are going to be times when you're doing things that are complete God's word. And it says in the Bible very clearly, do not despise the chastening of the Lord. Why? Because he loves you. He wants you to get brought back where you rightfully belong. So out of love, God will correct. Out of love, God wants to deal with that sin so that way it will never separate you from him. That's how much he loves you. So are you committed to learning that? Are you committed yourself to taking in God's word so that you yourself will know and you won't get pulled away by the things of this world? You won't get pulled away by that old nature that is inside of you. You won't get pulled away from the master deceiver himself. You see, when we put our faith in Christ Jesus and we take in God's word, this is what feeds our soul. This is what strengthens us to resist those temptations and overcome those challenges. God did all of this for us. Here's another thing. Now that you know you've been saved, now that you can say no to sin, what are you doing with your life? Are you serving in the areas that God's gifted you with? Now, can I just throw this out there? There's no such thing as the gift of sarcasm. There are spiritual gifts God gives us. And why did he give them to us? Because we all play a part in fulfilling the Great Commission. We all play a part in living for Jesus. We all play a part. God desires to use you and me to let other people know how good he is. And using our gifts and talents help bring glory to God's name. It draws people to who God is. Are you and I just as committed as the Apostle Paul, that we love people enough to speak the truth to them and direct them to Jesus? I want you to ask yourself this question. How many of us know of somebody who has gone wayward? How many of us know of somebody who needs Jesus? How many of us know somebody who is just not taking their walk serious with the Lord? When was the last time that we've actually, out of love, said, hey, I love you enough to speak the truth to you, but the way that you're living is not demonstrating you love Jesus, and I'm not here to judge you, but I'm here out of love to say, do you want help? Because I can help you get back, get stirred in the right direction. I can point you to Jesus and watch Jesus do a work in and through you. How many of us know of people who are running amok? And I pray that we would love them enough, just like the Apostle Paul, to speak truth, to speak love, and to direct them to the cross, because it is the cross, once again, that changes everything. And I hope that we all have learned throughout this whole book that salvation is through faith alone, in Christ alone. No human efforts can ever gain us a ticket into heaven. Jesus did it all. He paid that price once and for all so that we can now live in him. Be blessed today and know that you're a child of God if you made that confession of faith. Know today, if you made Jesus your Lord and Savior, you belong to an amazing family. And know today that God desires to use you to build his kingdom. Can I get an amen for that? Amen. Worship team, come forward. Father, I want to thank you so much for this morning, for this message, and for the book that we've been able to go through. And I do pray, God, that we would continue to have a teachable heart, that we would learn how to live for you, that we would learn every day is a gift from you, and that we would not take that lightly. God, help us today to be true followers of Christ. Continue that work that you began in each and every one of us. And I'm thankful, Lord, that you will not give up on us. And so I pray that today, for my brothers and sisters, help us today to be a living Bible for people to read. And so empower us and give us the strength to speak of your goodness and love to those who don't know. Give us the ability to pass on just the simple things that we know of you, and that your Holy Spirit would do what it does best, and that is draw hearts to you. You've asked us to be a sower. You've asked us to plant seeds or water them. But it is only God who brings the increase. It is only God who can convert a heart. So I pray that we would be faithful sowers, that we would plant God's word and water them, water the ones that have already been planted in people's hearts. God, I pray that all of us today would live for you and you alone. And I pray that we too would boast in the cross, knowing the power, knowing that it is what matters most. It is what changes our lives from the inside out. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, I just want to give this opportunity. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never made Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life. And I want to invite you, as I said already, God loves you. And he desires to spend eternity with you. If you are willing today to understand and believe in your heart that sin separates us from God, and the only cure is to believe in Jesus' death and his resurrection, that he died, he was buried, and he rose again, that he conquered over sin, Satan, death, and hell, and this new life that he desires to give is for all of us. But we can't receive this until we deal with our own sins. The moment you confess and the moment that you believe that Jesus is the one who sets us free from that penalty of sin, the Bible says this is God's promise, you will be saved from that penalty. This is a decision only you and God can make. He's already opened up the door. Now it's your part. What are you going to do with it? And if this is you today, I want to invite you, just slip up your hand, and it would be an honor to pray for you. It would be an honor to lead you in a prayer that will get you right with God and give you this new start to be born again and to be a part of God's family and to know that you have been set free from the penalty of sin. If this is you, once again, just slip up your hand and it would be an honor to pray for you. Lord, I want to thank you for this morning and for the truth of the gospel. And I do pray that our hearts would continue, Lord, to grow in you. God, we are here to remember the price that you paid. So prepare our hearts now as we take communion. I pray that you would continue to just speak into our lives concerning the message today and how we can live for you. And I ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. What